The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3, Singapore's first business and personal finance station. And in Home and Yours, this is your property and consumer affairs segment. Now, Singapore's recently been reported to be the world's second most expensive residential private property market. And 88% of Singaporeans say, yeah, property prices are too high. But also, 66% of them see property in Singapore as not only affordable, but also good value for money. How does this compute? Winston Lee is Regional Head of Special Projects at Property Guru Group. He's going to talk us through the implications of this survey. And also, we'll find out property sentiment and trends in the world's second most expensive market, i.e. Singapore. Winston, happy to have you on again.
Hi, good morning.
Let's talk about us being the world's second most expensive market, well, residential private property market anyway.
I wouldn't want to comment on whether it's a good or not so good accolade, but what we are seeing here is it's
and
true
that... And this is your biannual consumer sentiment survey.
Yes. So based on our Property Guru's consumer sentiment survey for H2 2018, what we have is quite close with what other survey, which we say that 88% of the respondents find that the property prices in Singapore are high. Yeah, so again, it correlates with some of the other survey reports that says that Singapore is the second most expensive property market after Hong Kong. And 72% of them expect prices to increase in the next 6 months. And I think that is also consistent with the trend because most of the new launches that is going to happen this year, they have bought the land last year, and many of them are purchased through en bloc sale and some GLS where there's highly competitive bidding. So the cost of land for these developers are much higher. So it's quite, most consumers who do their own research would expect the prices to increase this year. That is also quite intuitive.
But so of they're course, right.
Sorry. Yes, they're
there
right.
There is a huge possibility that
prices
will increase.
Yes, okay. Because the cost of land, I mean, for a developer, there are two major costs. One is a construction cost and one is land cost. The cost of land has increased. Therefore, the only way for the developer to maintain
is to increase the
price. But having said that, I think the other interesting trend is that 66% still see property as affordable and good value for money. So, again,
here, I don't dispute the good value for money, but who are these 66% of well-heeled Singaporeans, I'm thinking, who are thinking these high prices are affordable still? Yes.
So, I think there are a few factors that impact on this result. I think on the demand side, what we are seeing is that there are quite a number of Singaporeans who are already property owners. In fact, I would say many of these Singaporeans, they are actually sitting on an asset, whether it's HDB or private apartment, and there are also another group who have cash out from their en bloc sale. So what we are talking about is there is a significant amount of liquidity in the market. So for those who are who just cash out en bloc sale, definitely they have millions of dollars to play with. So for them to reinvest the funds into another private property is actually much, very, very doable. Yeah. In fact, maybe they may not even need to take much of a bank loan. So that part is taken care of. The other group would be those who are existing property owner. Then there are two subgroups. One is the HDB owner and the other group is the private property owners. And we have known that since last year, the first half of last year, or even 2 years back, we have a rebound in property prices for the last 2 years. And that was probably the reason why the government came in after H1 last year to implement another new set of cooling measures to stem the runaway prices. But many of them, these property owners, they are already sitting on appreciating asset. So for the private property owner, he can sell his current property and upgrade to a bigger one or a more prime one. So that is also doable because he already has a very strong base to play with. And for the HDB owner, and most of them, if they have waited through their 5 years MOP, they would already be sitting on an asset that is maybe about 300 to 500,000 Sing. And we know that nowadays, although when we use the word high, it's generally referring to the per square foot has increased for the developer new launches. But developers are also smart to transform this high into affordability by building smaller units. So we do see this trend, and I expect this trend to continue. So when they build a smaller unit, that means the even though the per square foot could be higher, but the actual quantum is actually still affordable. So they are targeting at these upgraders or other private property owners to move to a newer apartment or to a more prime location. So they are pricing to sell also because they bought the land. They need to sell within 5 years, otherwise they'll be caught with ABSD. So that partly explain the demand side of the equation. On the supply side, I think when we talk about good value for money, it's also because while Singapore is high, if you compare with the surrounding country, whether with Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia. But having said that, Singapore is known as a tier one city in the world. It's a gateway city. When you compare Singapore as a gateway city with other gateway cities in the world, like London, like New York, like Hong Kong, like Sydney. So when you compare the per square foot between all these gateway city where those high net worth individuals want to park their funds in, Singapore is still considered relatively cheaper compared to London or Hong Kong, for example. So in that sense, that connotes the value for money dimension, and very well-heeled and seasoned investor can see that value also.
Let's talk about upgrading, though. You mentioned it earlier. Also, the demand for executive condominiums has grown in popularity for these upgraders.
Yes.
I'm assuming they don't want to upgrade to a smaller flat.
Sure.
That's why they want to look at the EC.
Sure.
That's a way to have a larger flat at an affordable rate.
Sure.
Is that why?
Sure, yes. So we also can see that there is an increase in demand, at least from a survey, of people who are keen to upgrade to an executive condominium. There's an increase by 6% year on year. So again, that is also quite intuitive because whether we talk about upgraders from HDB or even first time, whether we talk about these two groups, they also understand that EC is actually a product that allows them a lower entry level to the private property ladder. At the same time, it also gives them what I call a decent lifestyle of having a bigger space, because by and large, EC per square foot is lower than a private condominium because of all the various restrictions involved, can only be sold to Singaporean and all that. So they give them a better lifestyle, and the entry level is lower compared to a private condominium. So it's more palatable for this HDB upgrader and also for first-time property owner. And more importantly, the third reason is that they also see EC as a very good store of value and a good potential capital appreciation investment tool. Why I say that is while EC current at the first 5 years has a lot of restriction, like only Singaporean can buy, and there's a certain income ceiling, there's some characteristic of HDB there which limits the purchaser. But don't forget, after 5 years, many of these limitations is gone. So they can sell to another Singaporean. And in 10 years' time, it will achieve a full-fledged status like a private condominium. So if I'm a buyer, if I buy an EC today, and I'm very certain in 10 years' time, the EC that I own today is no different from another private apartment. Assuming
just
the same
bigger
location.
Perhaps.
Yes. And so if same location, but now I'm able to enter the private property ladder at a much lower price compared to a private condominium. So for many of these young people, it is a very viable option. And I'm not surprised when we see an increase in perception and interest in EC.
Let's talk about another finding from Property Guru's biannual consumer sentiment survey. Younger Singaporeans moving out of their parents' homes earlier the significance of that finding, Winston?
I think it is part of a global trend of millennials who, again, desire a different lifestyle compared to the rest of their older generation peers. So I think what we are seeing is the new generation of millennials, they desire to have a certain level of independence. In fact, they even shun the traditional working 9-to-5, reporting to office. That's why concepts like co-working become so popular among millennials. They like to do their own freelance stuff. They call that the gig economy or the sharing economy. Some of them like to drive Grab. So when it comes to living, they are also going to co-living concept, and they like to stay away from parents. To them, independence is not only independence from the bosses in the company, but also independence from the bosses at home, which is the parents. So I think all this really point to the, it doesn't mean that these people move out to get married, but they may not be married, but they just want to have that independence of lifestyle without being controlled by anyone else, whether it's bosses in the workplace or bosses in the home.
Yeah. We also know though, Winston, prices aren't the only thing that govern what happens in a property market. Maybe you can talk us through other factors that affect the real estate market here.
So I guess we when we look at the prices, we have to look at the economics, economy of the country. So what we are seeing here is that by and large, Singaporeans in Singapore, we have near full employment. And we also have the MOM, Ministry of Manpower, report that says that the real medium income of full-time employed Singaporeans increased 3.6% per year from 2013 to 2018. So there is a decent wage growth, real wage growth of Singaporean. And as they enjoy the decent real wage growth, at the same time, their property prices have also grown. So all these point out to the fact that they have financial stability. So I think financial stability is the key to property prices increase, because when there's financial stability, the average Singapore families feel confident to either upgrade to a bigger property or to a more prime property, or they also feel confident to maybe purchase their second property. So I think this definitely is one of the key factors to account for the increase in prices. But having said that, the other variable that happened is also there's also cooling measure from government. So what we are seeing here is we are seeing different forces affecting the market. On the one hand, we have the free market forces of demand going up very strongly. But at the same time, we also have some confounding factors from the government to sort of restrict or
temper it,
the growth. And the rationale is they think that they rather go for slow and steady growth in prices rather than fast and furious, because the risk of fast and furious is
it can some
come
kind
up very
of
fast
burst
and can
at
crash.
Some point. Yeah.
Yeah. So with that also probably explain why Singapore, as a gateway city, the prices appear to be undervalued compared to other gateway cities, because there is a tempering of the price increase. So our current price increase is probably not based on the real actual demand and supply forces.
Some factors can't be pinned down, so to speak, be it, say, financial volatility or, say, geopolitical situations.
Mm.
How then can we look at future prospects of the Singapore market? To a certain degree.
Okay, so I guess by and large, Singapore has always been regarded as a safe haven, not only by Singaporeans, but even by the surrounding neighbors around Singapore, which is why even historically, Singapore property prices are not only sought after by local Singaporeans, but also by other countries like Indonesia, Philippines, Thai, and all the high net worth flocking to Singapore to park their wealth. So I guess one of the key geopolitical factors that you talk about is, to many of them, the Singapore political environment is regarded as stable. Where they see there's not much of political turbulence in Singapore compared to other parts of the world.
But I'm talking about geopolitical situations in other areas which may then affect global economy, for example, which inadvertently will affect Singapore as well.
Sure. Of course, for example, we've talked about the U.S.-China trade war. We talk about Brexit. So some of these factors may have a dampening impact on the Singapore economy, because Singapore is a open economy and we depend heavily on free trade and investment among different markets. So definitely there could be. In fact, already the government has moderated the economic growth in Singapore for this year in the light of the trade war and all this uncertainty. But having said that, because the Singapore property prices rise has always been tempered. So whatever that happened, it will always be underrated. So,
well, we won't see surprises that are too shocking.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So one reason why many market crash is because they rise very fast, and when there's geopolitical turbulence affecting the market, the high prices is not sustainable, and therefore it drop, and then it hurt many people, and the bank come and foreclose and all that. But I think Singapore, because of its highly prudent government policy, that is not going to happen. Whatever rise that is happening now is actually a very moderated rise. So whatever geopolitical turbulence that is going to happen is not going to hit Singapore as hard as many other cities around
because
the world.
Because of this cushioning that we've
because
created
of the cushioning.
For ourselves.
And I think
right.
The government has enough policy tools to tweak or so. So supposing if they find that there could be a risk of a demand affecting because of the geopolitical turbulence, they can always tweak the cooling measure to make it less stamp duty or whatever. So I think Singapore definitely offers a very safe bet for many investors. Yeah.
Winston Lee, Regional Head of Special Projects at Property Guru Group. You can check them out, propertyguru.com.sg. Winston, thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.